Hello everyone, this is George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Now, my goodness, the Labour government's been in office for about 24 hours now, so Sir Keir Starmer as Prime Minister. Well, what should people know about Sir Keir Starmer? What is his background and what's he going to be like as Prime Minister? First of all, he's 62 years old, so quite old to become Prime Minister. I think I'm right in saying he's the oldest person to ever become Prime Minister for the first time. I mean, Gladstone became Prime Minister for the last time at the age of 85. And that was, my goodness, was that 1892? And of course, 85 then was like 115 now. Very, very few people live to 85. And, you know, mentally, he was like razor sharp. Contrast Biden, who's only 81. So Sir Keir Starmer is a bit of a health freak. He keeps fit. He is a vegetarian, though not a vegan. He does drink beer sometimes, notoriously drinking beer during lockdown. We claim it was a work event, but everybody knows you're not allowed to drink alcohol at work. And that's why the police did nothing about it, because the police is obviously a left-wing organization, the shock troops of the far left, so always allies of the Labour Party. What would you expect? That they are all university graduates these days, have to be. They're all under 67, often well under that. I suppose they're mostly urban, public sector workers. And the chance you're anti-conservative, even for all those high in all those categories, is very high indeed, like about 90%. So, and they're obviously unhappy with their pay. Well, Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush are younger than Joe Biden. I did realize, because Biden's born, is it 42? Whereas Clinton and George Bush Jr. are both born in 1946. So coming back to Sir Keir, yeah, he was knighted for services to the public as being director of the Crown Prosecution Service, as in the police charge someone, the file of evidence is handed to the CPS, they have to make a determination. Are they going to proceed with the prosecution? Is it going to be a non-prosecute decision? Is it in the public interest to do so? But mostly, is there a good chance of securing a conviction, like well over 50%? They don't want to waste public time and money going ahead when it's unlikely the person's going to be convicted. But obviously, the CPS decision is not a certainty. The CPS can't convict people. Only a court can convict people. And one of my friends who's a criminal defense barrister says juries do surprising things. Barristers and judges who are very experienced in such matters will say, well, you know, there's a very strong chance that the evidence of the person is guilty, you know, sort of like 95% of the chance the person is guilty and get acquitted. Sometimes they think it's a relatively feeble case, maybe 50% chance of a conviction and there is a conviction and blah, blah, blah. So they have to make these tricky decisions. Whatever they do, the CPS get in trouble because they didn't go ahead with a case when someone would say, oh, but I suffered terribly, and maybe that's true, and you let the person off scot-free, or indeed, if the person's acquitted, well, this should never even have been brought. So he was that. So what about him? So he grew up in Surrey, one of the most strongly conservative areas of the country, just outside London, the southwest, a suburban area, as he never tires of telling us. His father's a toolmaker. His mother had some chronic health situation. Keir Starmer, he's named after the founder of the Labour Party, James Keir Hardie. Keir Hardie being a double barrel surname. Is he any second person I've ever heard of with Keir, K-E-I-R, as a Christian name. So I don't think he's religious at all, though his wife is Jewish and his children are brought up in the Judaic faith. But he's sort of a nominally Christian background. Yeah, he went to some local grammar school. He's actually quite musical, was involved in that. Despite his very bland persona, he's actually quite talented at the gay science, which often appeals to people who are more extrovert, but there's complete lack of extroversion there. So he's got this nasal voice, very tedious personality, always seems quite gauche in public. Because I suppose he's so serious-minded. So someone who's a real dullard. What else? So his family didn't have much money, blah, blah, blah. He's often spoken with great pathos about how his father suffered from a crushing sense of inadequacy. But he did well at school. Keir Starmer went to school with Norman Cook, better known as Fat Boy Slim, a DJ. I mean, not that I know anything about DJing. I think he's disappeared off the scene about 20 years ago. And I can't remember, was it Andrew Sullivan, that right-wing pundit, media pundit in the United States. So then for university, Keir, he went to the University of Leeds. I'm not sure why he picked the biggest city in Yorkshire, where he read law and he graduated. I don't know if he got a first or not, quite probably. And he's the very first person in his family to go to university. Okay, but bearing in mind, when Keir went on to tertiary education, only about 10% of young people in the United Kingdom went to university. These and another 10% went to polytechnics. The polytechnics have since been renamed universities because there were only about 35 universities in the UK in 1980. They're now 140. So it was a more of an elite thing. Now it's anyone, even if you fail A-levels, 55% of youngsters going on to university these days. And virtually all post-18 education is called university. So then he went to Oxford to read the BCL, the Bachelor of Civil Law. I'm not sure how he funded it. Remember, for a first bachelor's degree, there were no fees whatsoever in those days. And there was a grant, not a loan, a gift from the government of money. But that was only for the first bachelor's degree. He was doing a second degree. The BCL, despite the name, is actually a postgraduate degree only. So, and you had to get a first or a high 2-1 to do that. He went to St. Edmund's Hall, an ancient but undistinguished Oxford College, that rat trap down the alleyway, as I used to call it. Sir Robin Day, the sometime Liberal Party member, the veteran broadcaster, the first host of Question Time, he was there. Can't think whoever else. Is it Samira Ahmed, that well-known BBC newsreader, attended that one. And some comedian, I can't think who it is, was there roughly the same time. So he graduated from that, and then he went to be called to the bar. I don't remember which inn of court he was at. He obviously was called to the bar and did his pupillage and practiced there, and had typical far-left views. He used to write for a Trotskyite publication. And he ought to be taken to task about this. Trotskyism is terrorism. Leon Trotsky himself published a book entitled In Defense of Terror, openly carried out massive-scale state terrorism. The Checha, the Soviet secret police in the early 20s, walking around banners saying, long live the Red Terror. Trotsky deliberately murdered children. I do mean deliberately murdered children, would kidnap the children of others, and if they didn't do what he wanted, the kids would be shot dead. And that is the person that Sir Keir Starmer idolized. But he says he's in favor of human rights and so on. He set up a genocidal totalitarian system, one of the most bloodthirsty and one of the cruelest systems that mankind has ever devised. And that was the ideal state of affairs, according to Keir Starmer. Perhaps he has lost his youthful vigor. And then he was part of that McNo campaign or whatever it was. Various people, they were saying disobliging things about McDonald's, about how unhealthy their food was, about how destructive it was for the environment. And McDonald's took out a libel case against them. But these penniless protesters, they couldn't afford their own defense. But Mr. Starmer, as it was then, and others represented them pro bono. So he got married relatively late in life. It was in 2007, he was about 45 years of age. So he's lived in London since about the age of 23. He's got a daughter and a son. There is some dispute about the gender of one of his children. I don't know if somebody's transitioning. I think they're both in their early teens. So his wife is considering, she's at least 10 years younger than him. She went to the University of Cardiff. What about her? He's a somewhat private person. One of the few things that I will say in his favor is he doesn't exploit his children as a political prop. That is deeply distasteful, that tactic, to pose with them for photos just to grub for votes, because I know some people think that's a good thing. I think, you know, keep the kids out of it. Because if you bring your children into the limelight, you have no business complaining if the media says, but what about you did this with your children or that with your children? Then he said he would never use private health care for his family, even though there's a very long waiting list. Well, what a grossly negligent father he is. Of course you should do that. Pay to go private to get the best treatment for your children. He can easily afford it. Another thing is he's got a fortune of over £10 million. So he obviously was very well paid, a public sector fat cat, and bought property in the 1980s. Not very socialist, which is appreciated enormously. And one of the things I find sickening about him and so many of the champagne socialists is their much vaunted compassion for the needy, but never giving them a penny of their own money. I always get this from left wingers. People are far richer than I am, telling me that I'm selfish because I don't want my money taken away from me under threat of imprisonment, when I know that money is going to be squandered or even spent on bad things, or spent on a ballet I don't want to watch, or given to the monarchy, or given in so-called aid to developing countries, which is often stolen by corrupt officials and politicians, or arts grants, or to be spent murdering children, or to be spent mutilating children's genitals, or to pay for my own oppression, for the police to take away my rights to say what I want, to be where I want, to protest where I want, to belong to an association that I want, and to pay big salaries for politicians who are there to deprive me of my liberty. And that's so much of what tax is for, goes for that. It doesn't all go for good things as well. To pay for layabouts and malingerers, the work shy, to be far left protesters. If you really want to help the impecunious, then put your hand in your own pocket and not in mine. I'm not completely against tax. It's a necessary evil. So that is Sir Keir Starmer. He's cautious. Circumspect is the watchword. He's rather unemotional. He's very calculating. He's in a way diffident, a man of few words. He's willing up to cozy up to people he disagrees with, like Jeremy Corbyn, whom he publicly praised the moon, and now thinks he would have been a disastrous prime minister. So he is fork-tongued as well. That is Sir Keir Starmer. But as they're all on about Tory chaos, and I was thinking, will he stand out after 5 years? He'll be 67 retirement age. 67 is not that old now. But maybe to really underscore the point that there's continuity as contrasted with instability under the Conservative and Unionist Party, he might go for a second term to lead the UK towards 10 years or something like that. So after all the psychodrama of the last few years of the Conservatives, I suppose people might appreciate a bit of so-called normalcy and not too much chopping and changing. So I don't think there'll be that many drastic changes because their very cautious strategy that worked with a very low share of the vote, but it's given them a huge number of seats. So the lesson they've learned from that is, yes, to be very prudent, think very carefully before you do or say anything, just take minimal risks. So there are going to be some tax rises. They've already started talks with the junior doctors. So there's always going to be a salary rise for them. How much? How are they going to pay for it is their interesting question. And don't expect them to increase the defense budget. That was a very anemic aspiration to increase it to 2.5% of GDP when the economy allows, which might be never. They're banking so much on growing the economy, which might not happen. They could be lucky. They could be unlucky. But we'll see. And the number of people who are on welfare, that's going to increase number of benefits claimants, and that's going to eat into funding. So there's going to be less money to do things we really need to do. And of course, social parasites are Labour's core vote. So Labour is not going to make these people unhappy. Anyway, the other reasons to see why that this is actually a rather hollow victory for socialism. So that is the Starmer administration. Right. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. There are only two universities in the UK. I like that one. That reminds me of Yes Minister, when Sir Humphrey Appleby, that very senior civil servant, he's banging on to the Prime Minister, I can't remember, Jim Hacker. And Sir Humphrey says, we must fund the universities, both of them, as though there were only two. And even in the 80s when that came out, there were sort of at least 40. Right, ladies and gentlemen, toodle pip, and make sure you oppose the Labour Party.